Turn back to Psalm 19, if you would, please. You may be seated. You may be seated. Usually I read my passage there at that point, but I've already read it for you today, so I'll let you off the hook today. You could sit down for a while. Well, you made it through 2020 into 2021. Congratulations. With so much uncertainty and so much confusion, with so much isolation, just flat weariness. Is anybody just kind of weary? There's been a lot of sadness, all of those things from 2020. Many of you think or you hope or you might even believe 2021 will be different. Let me just first give a little bit of a warning, and then I'll go down that track and say that it will be. But a warning first is that changing the calendar doesn't bring change. You're going to have to pursue it. Better yet, let me say that a different way, because it's not that you need to pursue change. You need to pursue God. For there to be change, real change in your life this year, you'll need to pursue God. Only God can create real, lasting, substantive transformation in you. So pursue God in 2021 if you want 2021 to be different than 2020. Pursue God. Pursue God in His Word. If we know anything with certainty, it's that culture will not change for the better. If you can't say amen, say, oh me. And we also know with certainty that you cannot change yourself. You need help. In fact, the change needs to come from outside of you into you to make a real change. What's going to happen around you is probably going to stay much the same in 2021. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I have good news today. Because I'm a proclaimer of the gospel. That it's not so matter what happens around you that matters, that is in comparison to what happens in you through the power of God as you pursue Him, and the gospel continues to change you. You see, the gospel is not just for, quote, getting saved. We, the Christians, the body of Christ, the church, we need the gospel again and again and again and again and again for a couple reasons. One, number one, is you don't get it. Neither do I. We're stubborn-hearted people. We need the gospel constantly to sweep over us. As the lyric of that one song said, holiness is Christ in me. That's the gospel. And we need it again and again. Let me cut to the chase here. I think, and I preached this last week, I just can't get away from it. I had to come back to it. You just need to hear it again. I don't know what it was. You didn't get it, I guess. You need the Bible. You need the Bible this year. Not a verse on a mug from which you drink your coffee, okay? And not a spiritual social media post. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what you need. You need to drink deep from the well of the Word of God. John Bunyan, who was the author of Pilgrim's Progress, some of you have read that. If you haven't, you need to. He was a Puritan who lived in turmoil, constantly jailed for preaching, continuously separated from his family, sickness in his body, threats all around him all the time. Yet, it's described by the people who are closest to him that this man lived with such overwhelming joy. How is that? The great English preacher Charles Spurgeon described Bunyan like this. He said, "Prick him anywhere, and you will find that his blood is bibline," meaning that he just bleeds out the Bible. "The very essence of the Bible flows from him. He cannot speak without quoting a text, for his soul is full of the Word of God." That's how you live with joy through a year like 2020, and as you anticipate what's going to happen in 2021, that's how you live that kind of joy, that kind of life, that kind of firm foundation that is unshakable, that will see you through to the end. That's the kind of life, that's the kind of life I want to live. Anybody? Anybody? Bueller? And so you need the Bible, and you need it in quantities in your life. And I want you again this morning to look with me and see the value of the Bible in your life. It's in Psalm 19, verses 7 through 9. But first, I want us to go down to verse 14, because here's the payoff. This is what David prayed for. I wish I had time to preach the entire chapter, because it's so good. Because the first half of the chapter is the general revelation of God, meaning that God has shown himself to everyone through all of creation. He has written the gospel on the book of the world. But the second half, he shows us that he's given us specifically salvation. He's shown us himself personally in the Word, in the scriptures, in the Word of God. And he comes down and he says, this is the end result in verse 14. David prays his prayer and says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." How does that happen? How does a man like David, how does he know that his words will be acceptable and his meditation of his heart will be acceptable in the sight of God? It's by pursuing God through his Word. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 9 that I've already read to you, presents six synonyms for God's Word, for Scripture. It calls it the law, the testimony, the precepts, the commandment, the fear, and the rules. Those are all synonyms that point us back to the written Word of God, the Scriptures. But it also presents to us six characteristics of those words. They are perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, and true. And then he also provides us six results: reviving the soul, making wise the simple, rejoicing the heart, enlightening the eyes, enduring forever, and righteous altogether. So today I don't really have points for my sermon. I just want to walk through these six synonyms, six characteristics, and six results. So I guess you could say I got 18 points to preach today. We're just going to walk through it. So if you happen to miss one of these points, fret not. You've already got it written down. It's right there in your Bible. Let's walk through these these synonyms for the Word of God so that you can see the value of the Bible for your life in 2021. First of all, he talks about the law of the Lord in verse 7. The law of the Lord. God tells us plainly in this book what we should and should not do. He gives us without any doubt what is right and what is wrong. And I would say, and I'm sure you would too, that's important to know, right? It's important to know that. It's critical that we are governed by God's laws. Now, the characteristic that it shows to this is that God's laws are perfect. It means that it's all-sided, it's complete. Everything is covered, it's whole, it's without deficit. Nothing is left out of God's word that you need for your life to be governed. Now, let me also say and add to you that I believe that you could probably look and understand that in our books of law in the United States, probably right here in Oklahoma and specifically in Broken Arrow, there are probably some silly laws. I don't mean speeding. There are probably some laws that just make you scratch your head and go, what? There are no silly laws from God. God's laws are all serious. There's nothing that you need to add to this book. There's nothing that needs to be subtracted from this book. All of his laws lead us and govern our lives. Now, I want to say as we're beginning this new year, I think today's the 3rd of January, right? So we're 3 days in. That we make all kinds of resolutions and things that we're going to do different. And I've had several people have asked me this year about what other kind of things they should read. Some of you are going to be big on reading devotions and blogs and things like that. But let me just remind you today that those kind of things, whether you read Open Windows or you have your favorite author who has given you a devotional book, those things are training wheels. Those are training wheels. We want to teach our children how to ride a bike without training wheels as soon as possible. Because it would look silly for me as a 52-year-old man to ride down the street with my children with me still riding with training wheels. Huh? That's why we teach you the process of TAP. If you're not familiar, you can go on our website. We teach you how to read the Bible just to ask some simple questions. What does it teach? How, A, should I adjust my life to what the truth of what this Bible teaches? And P, how does it prepare me to share that, what I've read today, with somebody else today? That's how we do. TAP, what does it mean? It doesn't require any devotion, doesn't require a blog. Am I saying that I think all devotions and blogs and all that stuff are wrong? No, not at all. Not saying that. But that's why, because that process helps to explain the laws of the Lord. They are perfect. They are sufficient. They are complete. All you need is the Bible in order to grow in God. It's why, and I know I just said this about devotion, things like this is not a devotion. That's why we have given you and have these printed out there, that podcast called The Bible Recap. We'll say, well, you just said, all you need is what? I got it. But what The Bible Recap does is it explains. It's all it's doing is it explains what you just read that day. Oh, how we need the Bible. Oh, how we need the law of the Lord. And it's all. It's complete. It's what we need. But what does the law of the Lord do? What is its result? I love this. It revives the soul. In fact, this verse, Psalm 19:7, is going to be the verse for our church for this year. The law of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. It brings to life what was dead. It breathes in new life. It awakens. It energizes. It enlivens us. We talk about revival, and you think about a series of 3 or 4 days or what used to be 2 weeks of gathering together in here, and there's a preacher and all that stuff. That's not revival. That's preaching. What brings revival is the Word of God. What brings revival to your soul truly is not walking down an aisle. It's confessing your sins before the Lord because He's revealed His truth to you and you see yourself in light of who He is. That's what revives the soul. What will wake you up this year in 2021 to get you out of your 2020 funk is going to be the Word of God. What we need is a Bible revival. John Wesley once said, I want to know one thing, the way to heaven. God Himself has condescended to teach me the way. He has written it down in a book. And then, almost as though there was great anguish and joy all wrapped up in one at the same time, He says, oh, give me that book. At any price, give me the book of God. Let me be a man of one book. David writes, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. He moves on and says, the testimony of the Lord. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It's in this book that we hear God speak. The testimony of God. And here, God speaks. He speaks of Himself, and He speaks of His glory. You've heard me say this before. You want to hear God speak? Read this book. You want to hear God speak out loud? Read this book out loud. This is God. This is how God speaks to us. And here He says the testimony, what God speaks, what God has to say, what God testifies to, what God has come to witness to is sure. It is true. It's reliable. It's trustworthy. It's been established. It's been proven to be firm, totally true, and totally consistent. I can't wait because in a few weeks I'm going to do a teaching series, not in here, in some other venue. I'm going to do a teaching series on how to answer what some consider to be contradictions in the Bible. The Bible does not contradict itself. Let me just say it now. There's dozens of places where people say, oh yeah, but it says here and it says here and it contradicts. If we just learn how to read the Bible, we would understand God never contradicts Himself because He is purely true and truth. In a world in which it's difficult, almost impossible to know what can be trusted. Is that right? Does that ring a bell with you at all? Is it hard to trust anything? We used to be able to trust Walter Cronkite, right? Some of you have no idea who I'm talking about. Go ahead, ask your parents. They're sitting next to you. You might as well. Who is that? Who's Walter Cronkite? We used to be able to trust the news, what came on the stations. Really? Like, can you trust anything that's on the internet anymore? It's hard. It's hard to know what to believe is true and what is not true. But the Word of God is sure. It is certain. It does not change. It doesn't waver. It doesn't move between the light and darkness. It always stays consistent. We have the testimony of the Lord. It's 100% steadfast and certain. And here, God tells it like it is, doesn't He? I mean, if you're not reading the Bible from time to time and go, whoa, my goodness, God just tells it like it is, then you're probably not getting it. And yet, it's constantly full of love and truth and grace and mercy. What does the testimony of the Lord do? Here, he says it makes wise the simple. This simply means that it's growing, that we're growing spiritually, that we're growing up, that we're becoming mature. The word simple in Hebrew, in the Hebrew concept, meant an open door. It makes wise those who have left their door open. And he's talking about the mind. You know, in our culture, we constantly talk about having an open mind. Can I tell you something? That is dumb. That's dumb. You got to know when to shut the door. In fact, the Jews thought that it was a dumb idea to make your mind an open door and let anything in. That, my friends, is what the Bible calls discernment. Having discernment. Oh my, the world needs a little discernment. And particularly the church, the people of God, need to have some discernment. That's what the testimony of the Lord will do. It gives us discernment, the ability to recognize the truth from a very convincing lie. It gives us the ability to know right from wrong, smart from dumb, good from bad. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that you'll need some discernment this coming year? Where are you going to go for that? Facebook? Oprah? The news? Where are we going to go to grab discernment? Where do you go to get wise counsel? What does that? The testimony of the Lord does that. The Word of God. And you need to plan to do this, to be in this Word of the Lord every day, because it gives you discernment. He moves on. The precepts of the Lord, verse 8. The precepts of the Lord. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Precepts are divine guidelines for godly living. They're practical. Throughout the Word of God, God is giving us boots on the ground in your house, in your brain, in your heart, in your life. Good principles and doctrine to lead you and guide you. In fact, when he talks about the idea that the precepts of the Lord are right, he doesn't so much mean the difference between what is right and what is wrong as he does the sense of going down the correct pathway. You ever had someone give you directions to a place and they gave you all of them correctly except one turn? Yeah. You got in the general vicinity, but if you're like us, we were running a little bit behind and we turned left where we're supposed to turn right. It's frustrating. The Bible never gives bad directions. If you follow it, you will never get lost. That's what the precepts of the Lord are right means. What does it do? What does the precepts of the Lord do? It rejoices the heart. Oh, this is good news for us. Amen. This is good news for a world in suffering today. The precepts of the Lord are right. It leads us down the right path, and that rejoices the heart. If you're like a normal human being, you might look around at some of you for a minute. Your heart from time to time is going to need some rejoicing. Everyone goes down the path of pain. Everyone in 2021 is going to walk in some grief. Everybody wanders in confusion. Everyone. Guaranteed. But while you walk that path, let your heart rejoice in knowing who walks it with you. No, you know me. I got to do some of this. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. 1 John verse 1, 4. This is what John says. He says, and we are writing these things. What things? These letters. The Bible, the scriptures. We are writing these things so that your joy may be complete. The Bible doesn't advocate a partial joy. Well, you ought to be partially joyful, and you ought to be partially in a lot of grief, because we all know that grief and sorrow will make you a lot more easily to control by God. No, the Bible says that we're to have complete joy in Christ. And where does it come from? It comes from the Word of God. Jesus himself says it in John chapter 15, verse 11. He says it like this: these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. It's the same word as complete. Full. It means to be filled full. Is that not the kind of joy that you'd like to have in your heart? Then you have got to get into the precepts of the Lord. Learn the scripture, love the word, and you will know true joy. Don't point when I say this. But don't all of you know someone who claims to be a Christian that you just look at them, or you're around them long enough and you start feeling down? I mean, they got their arms crossed all the time. They look gloomy. Their jaws dropped. I mean, you'd swear they were the ones who wrote the song for Hee Haw. I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes I turn around while we're singing, while Chris and the team's up here just pouring it out, getting after it. I'll turn around and watch you all. Right? Oh, God has given us great joy. It's found in the precepts of the Lord. We need to value the Bible by spending time in it, and you will mine a load of joy. By the way, it's good to be in the Bible every day, because you never know when you're going to need a little bit of that load. Fourth here, I'll speed it up just a bit. The commandment of the Lord in verse 8. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Most of us don't really like the word commandment, because we like to do what we want to do, and commandment sounds a whole lot like somebody's telling us what to do. Yep. Some things in the Bible are descriptive, but much of the Bible is prescriptive, giving us what we are to do, not suggestions. We don't have the 10 suggestions. We have the 10 commandments, right? Not possibilities, not opinions, not recommendations. The Bible just says, thus saith the Lord. But fortunately, he says here, the commandment of the Lord is pure, meaning that it's clear, it's transparent, it's unmuddled. It's the opposite of being murky. Some things in the Bible, when we read them, can seem to be very mysterious, but you just need to know that God is not trying to be a mystery. This book is his revelation of himself to us. He's trying to make himself very plainly known to us through this word. He's not trying to confuse you or to be uncertain. There's a strand of the church today called the progressive church that loves uncertainty. In fact, the thing that they love the most is that we can't be certain about what God says about homosexuality, or we can't be certain that God meant what he said in this book. But his book leaves no room for that. Instead, it says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It helps us to see. The Bible is crystal clear, especially when it comes to salvation. Crystal clear. It couldn't be easier to see. It describes us very well. From Genesis to Revelation, it describes you and I very well as people who have transgressed against God, rebellious in nature, hearts that are turned by nature away from God, wanting to do our own thing on our own time. And when we finally find it out, we try to save ourselves, but we do it unsuccessfully over and over and over again. We fail miserably to try to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. And all along, the Word is showing us that we need to be rescued. We need a spiritual SEAL Team 6 to come down and swoop us up from the enemy, unknown, unbeknownst to anyone else, and be saved from all of that. God did this. He sent His Son Jesus to do exactly for us what we could not do for ourselves, which was to erase the debt of our sin, and He paid the price for our judgment when He died on the cross. And God proved that He was that payment for us by raising Him from the dead on the third day. And the Bible says that if you will confess your sins and confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be rescued. The Bible's crystal clear on that. The Bible also helps us to see life very clearly in the midst of our helpless situations. Right in the middle of facing death, living in what feels like a fog, the Bible describes life very clear. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that the Bible is not hard to understand. It's hard to swallow. Sometimes. The truth is you're daily being lied to by the world. But the world helps us to see the truth clearly. Number five, the fear of the Lord. Here he says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The scriptures here are called the fear of the Lord. Why? Why would he give that as a synonym? Because scripture takes God seriously. The Bible presents God seriously, and so should you. It says that it's clean, meaning that it's flawless. It leads us daily to be in awe of God, to live in reverence of Him. That's what we understand the fear of the Lord to mean. So why do you need the fear of the Lord in Scripture? Because it endures forever, he says. Isaiah 40, verse 8, I read that passage last week. The flower fades and the grass withers, but the word of the Lord endures forever. While everything else changes in your life with the blowing of the wind. Doesn't it feel like that? Let me speak to the more experienced crowd for a second. Doesn't it seem like the older that you get, the more that it feels that way? I thought that as you got older, things were supposed to settle down. Hold up. Calling for an instant replay here. God's word not only endures, but it produces enduring results. Salvation. God will never leave us nor forsake us. His joy abundantly, His peace, His comfort, sanctification, transformation, Christ-likeness, all endure. And they endure as we understand the fear of the Lord from the Word of God. You need the Bible daily to rightly fear the Lord. Well, finally, number six, the rules of the Lord. He says, the rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The word rules there could mean judgments or his decrees. He says they are true. This sentence is really a picture of God on his throne. Picture that, if you will. God sitting on his throne as a divine judge, declaring a final verdict on each and every matter. And his word is final, because God means what he says. And whatever God has said, he has said it in truth and in love. In a day when justice is being screamed from every corner, the Bible provides perfect justice. But let me say this. When it comes to us and God, you don't want justice. You do not want justice. Because if you got what you deserved, you would get crushed. Thank God for his mercy. Amen. Thank God for his grace. Thank God that God himself sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take our judgment upon himself on the cross, where God poured out the full measure of his wrath against our sin. Jesus took the cup and he drank it all the way down, all the way to the dregs, for our sake, and he gave us instead his rightness with God. We want grace. And that's what he says here. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, completely in total rightness with God through Jesus Christ. Well, these six principles are why we need to value the Bible in 2021. And I pray that you'll get a plan and get a person that'll help you to keep on track and stay accountable, not to check off a box, but to really desire to know the Word and to know God. And let this verse 14, let it be a prayer every day as you read the Bible. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And how do those things come to pass? By staying in the Word of God and letting the Word of God stay in you. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a few moments. When we get down to verse 10, the psalmist says that we are to pursue God more than we pursue gold, even fine gold, because it's sweeter than even honey. Oh, at this moment, would you pray that God would be that valuable to you this year, that you would seek God in his word, in the scriptures, with more of a passion than you would your riches, more than you would pursue what satisfies your flesh? Would you pursue God with a passion to know him, to say yes to him, to obey him, to walk with him? The Word of God does not return void. It always produces what it claims it will. Perhaps today you need to know God in a saving way. You need to come to faith in Christ. Maybe today you would say, I don't know that I'm right with God. Preacher, I don't know that I'm right with God. Today you can be right with God. He has made a way. And he wants to be in fellowship with you. Today, would you just pray that and say, God, I want to be right with you. I want to be clean. I want to be whole. Today, if you don't know if you're going to heaven, you don't know if you're right with God, would you just pray and say, God, I want to know your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In just a few moments after this service is over, to my right, to your left, in this hallway, our pastors are going to be here, and we'd love to share with you how you can know that you can be right with God, how you can know that you'll go to heaven, how you know that you're in fellowship with God. Perhaps today you would pray and say, God, I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm a believer. I really want to walk with you this year, God. I want this year to be different than any other year. I really want to walk in your ways. I want to obey you. I want to be a disciple of Jesus this year. If that's you, right after our benediction, I want to invite you to do the same thing, to come to one of our pastors, and we'd like to share with you how you can be a disciple of Jesus. Or perhaps you need to come today and you want to join our church, or you think you need to be baptized, or maybe you just need to pray with a pastor. I'm going to pray, and then we'll stand and we'll have our benediction. And then if God's been speaking to your heart, come today on this first Sunday of January 2021. Come. Father, thank you that your word is perfect and sure and right and pure and clean and true. May it fall deeply into our hearts and our minds, and may we be conformed to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by it. And now, God, may you receive honor and glory as your word has gone forth and teaches us. God, may it not return void, but may it achieve what you have sent it forth for. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite you all to stand. Thank you so much for coming and being with us here today. I pray that you will be blessed throughout this year. But my greatest prayer for you is just what David prayed. And I hope this will be a benediction for you all year long. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, be our rock and be our redeemer. Amen. God bless you, Arrow Heights. Have a great day today.